Monday, Monday. So good to me. Monday morning. It was all I hoped it would be. But Monday morning, Monday morning, couldn't guarantee
that Monday evening you would still be here with me.
Every other day.
That's the perfect length of a pause, that song. Right?
It really is.
They really nailed it.
I really want to jump in there as a radio guy, but I held back.
Oh, it's so sweet. Because we get a lot of, you and I hear a lot of the wrong length pauses, Joel. That's, why is there so much silence happening? Or, okay, I was talking too soon, you know? But the mamas and the papas, they appreciate the proper silence.
Did you know, Gray, that dead leaves play a vital ecological role in our society, decomposing to create fertile, nutrient-rich soil? I may or may not be reading this, serving as essential habitat and food for insects and other wildlife, and improving soil structure and moisture retention. That's a lot of good things dead leaves do. So as Americans, what do we do with our dead leaves?
Why, Joel, we remove them, obviously.
We get those dead leaves out of here. Throw them away. Throw them in the back. Get them out of here.
I was thinking about it this year, actually. We were helping Dad with leaves yesterday. I thought, why don't we just mulch them in place this year? I wanted to grind them up. I wanted to leave them. I wanted to let them rot and enjoy the green grass next year. But it doesn't work that way, does it?
It doesn't. But you'd be amazed in the spring if you did that, unless you have a lot of leaves, they would kind of be gone. They would just go into the soil. They'd be gone.
They hang around a bit more than I thought they would, because I've paid attention to the areas where we've kind of left them or where they have ended up. You know, if Dad does a lot of work picking them up with a vacuum attachment on the mower.
Oh, that's fun, yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, he's got a lot of area to cover between his place. He does my place, too, mm-hmm. because he's the best, and he also takes care of the dipper and a lot of land out that direction for my brother. But I think I've really grown to appreciate the look of it, you know, and the hard work that goes into it. But I definitely thought this year, let's just mow them and leave them. Take off the attachment and just leave them where they, because the mushrooms, the implications for the mushrooms. Speaking of which, those are tapering. It's the wrong kind of cold out there now.
Well, it depends on how many leaves you have, because I have the type of yard where if I don't touch the leaves, you'll be ankle to waist deep in leaves back there. That's so many. Everything just kind of congregates back there. So
anywhere you want to go.
So yeah, I think it's good to leave some leaves behind, but with that many, it's probably just going to it's going to suffocate the grass. Yeah. And dogs love to jump in piles of leaves. How about Toby? Is Toby a leaf jumper?
We haven't given him a pile of leaves to try.
Yeah.
Actually, we were talking about that yesterday with Dad. I did that at some point. I don't even remember when I did that. Probably when I was 16, 17. That sucks. Jumping in a pile of leaves like, wee. And now I'm itchy for hours.
And it better be a big pile, because if it's not a big pile, you're still going to hit the ground fairly hard.
Well, if you're old enough to remember it happening, you're too big to be doing it. Let's be real here. Somebody else should be tossing you, and it should be no more than one sober person tossing you into the pile of leaves.
There is something about being buried in a pile of leaves, though. That's, I don't know. It's mysterious. I had our previous dog, we had a pug. When she was really young, I took her and I put her, and she's like maybe 8 inches high, I put her into a large pile of leaves, and she just went right into the middle. And about 15 seconds later, we saw the wiggling, and she came out. And ever since then, she loved leaves. She would run right. She would run right into the pile, just ground level. Just go right into the pile of leaves.
I bet you know that's got to be just a polarizing thing. You know, I'm sure some dogs really don't like it, but imagine that you've been dropped into this crispy pile of, and every time I move, they crinkle, and it's like, okay, that's either going great or going very poorly, because that's a lot. That's just it's pure sensory stimulation, noise, and crispy crinklies from everywhere. Like you were gambling there when you dropped your dog into a pile.
It's a good pile. I had a dog before that where we would a fetcher, and I think Toby would do this. Toby's a fetcher. If you took it and you threw the fetch toy into the pile of leaves in the middle, he would go get it. There would be a lot of rustling, and there would be a lot of leaves flying around. It's a wonderful thing.
A lot of zoomies. He is a bit of a zoomie type, but with a clear pattern. You know, it's usually right after he's done his business. It's like, all right, we're going to do a speed lap and then go inside.
Yeah.
So I wonder what would come of a leaf pile.
It's going to be a good week. Good week for leaves. So good luck with that. Let's talk a little football because that's what we do here on the Gray Area. It was an entertaining weekend of football. I don't know how much you got to see with the Packers having the bye week. A lot of times fans will kind of check out on that week to give themselves a break. Did you see any football this weekend?
I did. I certainly did. Not anything. Well, we caught just a little bit of that Vikings-Browns game because every Sunday we do breakfast at Dad's place, and we were making French toast watching a little bit of Vikings-Browns this week. Watched a little Dylan Gabriel.
Vikings did not deserve the victory in that game, but they found a way to make it happen somehow, some way.
I've heard it said that there are no undeserved victories in the NFL. You know, that's whoever deserves the victory has the most points when the clock runs out, and that's how the game is designed. But I know definitely where you're coming from, and I felt myself thinking the same. Well, actually, I'll tell you what. The one thing that really can sell that for me is when a stinky penalty goes your direction. I'm thinking, was it 4 or 5 years ago, 2020 or maybe 2021, the Lions game where Rodgers had that deep Hail Mary to win the game, basically, and with the extra play because of a penalty that didn't really happen? okay, yeah, that one.
Well,
the Vikings deserve that one.
The Vikings went on the road and lost a turnover battle 2-0 and still came out with a win. That doesn't happen very often. You lose a turnover battle 2-0 on the road. I don't care who you're playing. You're probably in trouble.
Yeah, I guess, like I said, I phrase it differently. We stole that one. You know, that was they tried to hand it to us, and we decided to hand it back and still won.
Had the Vikings lost that game, the controversial Will Reichert kick that hit a camera wire, apparently, would have been much more front and center. But I've looked at the video on it. My eyes aren't good enough to say 100% sure that it did hit it. But looking a lot. Yeah, okay. I've been reading a lot of things where people were confirming, yeah, it hit it, and it went to the right, and it's the reason why it missed.
Yes, it is indeed the reason it missed. That baby was barreled. I mean, Will hit that kick. It was a laser, unless something wild happened to it. And some of them do turn in the air, but he's a good kicker, and it was going to be good. There were actually at least three such instances in the league yesterday of football hitting an object. There is a very clear rule about what's supposed to take place, and the refs failed in all three instances. I expect a league letter or something about it. It won't be that big a deal, but it is a topic of conversation in my afternoon show, matter of fact. I was just writing about it before
I think the officials just need to be aware of where these wires are because they're part of the presentation of the game. You get those cool camera angles, just like, how is that camera able to be right there? Well, it's those things. It's those wires that are above the field.
Of course, the big one, literally the big one, is the Jumbotron in Dallas. That punts hit that one like every game, and one did yesterday, and the refs just moved on, and that is not what the very clear, very short rule says. So, yeah, I'll chat about that in my afternoon show.
The Viking kicker, by the way, would like to be referred from here moving forward as Will the Thrill, okay, just so you know. So the Colts beat the
thrilling year in Minnesota.
For Viking fans, we were kind of happy he missed that. Because we don't want his first miss to be in the NFC Championship game. We want it to be in Week 5, and that was his first miss of the year. So we're like, all right, we're all right with that. We're good. When we when we talk NFL at the beginning of the season, we always talk about those teams that are going to take a step back. There's always one or two, and the number one on that list this year, of course, is going to be the Baltimore Ravens. So it looks like their defense is not good, and Lamar Jackson's out for a few more weeks, and it looks like this may be that year that the Baltimore Ravens just kind of say, next year. Let's get them next year.
It's really weird, though. It doesn't feel like the pieces left to explain this, but at the end of the day, that's not necessary for these kinds of problems. And the Ravens are a bit of a case study in one of the key ways a team can begin to go downhill. It's easy to believe that it won't happen with the Chiefs being the Chiefs, you know, and other teams, you know, the Patriots did it most recently and the Cowboys before them. And, you know, there's always somebody hanging around that just has it figured out a little bit better. And yeah, that's how it'll always be. It's their turn.
We're 5 weeks into the NFL season, and there are no, I repeat, no undefeated teams remaining.
Zilch. The Bills went down a divisional matchup against the Patriots that didn't see enough tackles from their linebacker, Robert Spillane, to save my fantasy matchup. I really, really need Xavier Worthy to play tonight for the Chiefs, and I need him to score 3 touchdowns.
If I would have given you Vegas odds 5 weeks into the season on who would be the number one seed in the AFC after 5 weeks in the end of the NFL season, the Indianapolis Colts and Danny Dimes odds would have been probably about 1,000 to 1.
I would have laughed in your face. I'd have laughed in your face. Danny Dimes has his career resurrected in Indianapolis with Shane Steichen. I'd have thought, yep, and other good soap operas across the league. Like, that's just ridiculous, and I love it. I love every second of it.
Colts might be the real deal. They might, maybe.
It kind of is beginning to seem so. I've got to look deeper. I haven't been watching closely enough because I've basically been assuming that there's going to be a bit of a problem just popping up out of nowhere. And then they lost last week, and I thought, okay, here it is. Here it begins. Well, we've righted the ship, so I need to pay attention to this. The Jaguars up there near the top of the list, too. Most of the other names up there aren't super surprising, though the Texans are looking decent. The Raiders, I know we're just looking at AFC here, but Raiders at 11 sounds pretty high.
So we're five weeks into the season, and I said this morning earlier that there's 11 to 12 teams right now already out of the 32 that I'm eliminating from playoff contention.
Do you think so?
I'm crossing them off the list. The New York Jets are 0-5. The Titans are 1-4. The Browns are 1-4. The Dolphins are 1-4. And the Ravens are 1-4. And I'm not saying just because of their record I'm eliminating them. You just look at their teams and look at their quarterback situation. It's not going to happen. The Raiders don't have a defense. They're 1-4. They're done. Even though the Texans and Bengals are 2-3, without Joe Burrow, the Bengals are done. The Texans, maybe not. Maybe not. They might still be there. So I'm going to put about 6 or 7 of those as teams that are done. And in the NFC, the Giants are done. The Saints are horrible. They're done. The Panthers are 2-3. They're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. So the NFC only has, I think, 3 legit that are done. So you got 10 to 11 teams, I think, that are chances of making the playoffs. You could get some pretty good Vegas odds on that right now.
Pretty much.
You could put some bucks on it.
I am compelled by my various disorders to acknowledge that nobody is mathematically eliminated yet. I don't even think the Jets are technically completely out of it. It just becomes a matter of likelihood. There's still a non-zero chance that the Jets go undefeated and run the table. But that scenario begins with Aaron Glenn going in and said, all right, guys, we're going to start cheating, and I know how to get away with it. Like, that's what it would take is what changes for various teams. You know, the Eagles could keep on their current course. The 49ers, I think, are kind of the interesting one at the top of the division right now, second in the NFC by this listing, by virtue of a couple tie breaks with other top teams. But that is that sustainable? I was shown a fascinating quote the other day from, I think, 3 years ago. Dan Orlovsky said, if Mac Jones were in San Francisco, he'd be playing like Brock Purdy.
Okay.
And at the time, Rex Ryan laughed in his face, said, that is ridiculous. It was when Mac Jones was still a starter in New England, a first-round pick turned bad starting quarterback. Right, as he was Bill Belichick's last starting quarterback project before he bailed for college and the weird world he's over dominating right now. But it was, like I said, Rex laughed in his face, and I think the sentiment of most fans at the time was that, yeah, Mac Jones doesn't have that in him. Well, he is. He's doing it. He's doing it. Mac Jones is going to get a starting job off of this.
So I went into last night's game, Buffalo, New England, and in my mind, I said to myself, I came to the realization, I thought, this is Buffalo's year. It's going to be Buffalo, Detroit in the Super Bowl.
Jim Kelly's finally waking up from a deep nap.
Yes. And they're finally going to, someone's finally going to get one. It's going to be Buffalo, Detroit. I mean, the Bills are going to take care of business. They're going to be 5-0. And then, I mean, the Patriots are not a bad team. Their defense is getting a lot better. But for the Indianapolis Colts to lose to New England last night, that was a bad loss. That was a bad loss. And now they're 4-1. So I think if you were to list one team in the National Football League that is your favorite today to be the Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl 60 or whatever it is, who is it? I got my team. Who's your favorite right now? Playing the best right now.
Give me a scroll down, please.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'm going Eagles.
I'm going with the Motor City Kitties. I think Detroit. Detroit.
They're 4-1. They haven't lost since Green Bay started the season.
Yeah.
So I agree. They're incredibly hot right now.
Their defense is back. They've fixed whatever it was. I think their defense is a lot better.
Yeah. Well, I know they're my starting fantasy defense and will be in perpetuity if this continues. I have them, and I had Green Bay's defense, but thank goodness I started the Lions defense last week, and I'm not going to make the mistake of changing that up anytime soon unless the Packers really figure it out.
You had another incident this week in the, was it Arizona game, where the guy crosses the goal line with a touchdown, and a guy came, and it was a combination of a guy from behind, I think, hit his arm, and he fumbled it out of the back of the end zone for a touchback. Come on, guys, just run through the goal line and then start your celebrations, and we'll go viral. Goodness gracious.
No kidding. And some interesting info from off the sideline. That player received a real talking to from his head coach, Jonathan Gannon, and there were rumors going around and some confusing footage that made it look like Gannon may have actually struck the player in question, but it seems to be that, there was no assault that took place on the sideline of that game surrounded by 18 cameras, though it did look like he was getting up
If you smack a fully padded player, does that count as smacking? I don't know.
I don't... Oh, man. Ask Brian Cushing. He's got the dumbest highlight I've ever seen when he was jawing one time. Cushing was a USC linebacker turned Houston Texan, and he also did a lot of steroids, allegedly, and it explained a lot of his behavior, like the time he headbutted somebody who was wearing a helmet when he wasn't.
Yeah.
He barehead headbutted a helmeted player.
Yeah.
The blood was less surprising than anything else about that.
And remember this also, Packer fans. You're basically a couple plays away from being 4-0 right now, so don't count out the Packers. Packers are still going to be right there. And I think if I had to list five teams, my top five teams right now, who have a chance to be in the Super Bowl, both AFC and NFC, I think the Packers, for me anyway, might still be in there because they're still really good. Don't let a block kick and a whatever. Don't let that.
Two block kicks. Actually, both of those were two block kicks from 4-0. But that said, I might still have to widen it to the top six before I put the Pack in.
It's
there
true.
Right now.
It's true.
We're a bit top heavy. There's some real teams. There's four teams in the NFC with only, well, actually, there's five teams with only one loss. But we're the only one of those with only two wins. That's, if you go down the loss column in the NFC, it's Eagles, Niners, Bucks, Lions, and then the two-win Packers, who still only have one loss thanks to that tie.
You're going to have a loaded playoff field again this year in the NFC. It's going to be loaded. You're going to have a couple of teams that are going to, like right now, playoffs started today. The Washington Commanders and Matthew Stafford and the LA Rams are out as of today. But they're only five games in. So it's going to be loaded. There's going to be seven good teams in the playoffs in the NFC and the AFC. And there might be three. As of now, it's a long season, of course. So
there's too much time. Everything's possible, including the run the table Jets. That could happen. It's not going to, but it could.
What are you drinking this morning? The Run the Table Jets?
Sure.
What?
Okay. Sure. It's possible. It's possible. It's a non-zero chance is all I'm saying. Yeah. That's why I'm saying
it's always possible.
That's why I mentioned that scenario would have to start with them deciding to cheat for the rest of the season. Like, what it would take is not going to happen. But I don't believe, don't anybody quote me that I think the Run the Table Jets are possible. If you soundbite this, I'm going to be furious because you've got editing power over everything I'm saying right now. But
I'm just interested at their schedule. They host Denver, they host Carolina, they travel to Cincinnati, they host Cleveland, they travel to New England, they travel to Baltimore, they host Atlanta, I'm not saying I'm in on this, but I've gone from 100% out to 96% out. That's, now.
You're with
right?
me. You're with
yeah,
me.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit.
You don't
bit.
Know it, but you agree with me, Joel. They have what I call a non-zero chance.
Their toughest game is at Buffalo, the last game of the year, and yeah. Buffalo could have clinched by then, so it could be over.
Well, and Jacksonville is more real than they look. New Orleans just got their first win. Spencer Rattler is better than I thought he was going to be before the season.
Yeah. It's fun to see some young quarterbacks stepping up now. And there are some young quarterbacks stepping up. I think the new generation of quarterbacks, with Flacco being benched and Cousins now gone, and the new generation of quarterbacks is here. It's here. Or close. They're at least halfway through the door anyway.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. We've got to see what's coming, and it's going to be here before we know what it is. So
yeah. 8:33, more of the Gray Area coming up with Joel and Gray. Twice an hour news and sports update for you right now.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from sending any state's National Guard troops to Oregon. The judge saying last night it appears the Trump administration was deliberately trying to circumvent her previous ruling, blocking the Oregon Guard from being deployed. Talks beginning in Egypt today on trying to end the Israel-Hamas war. Talks not beginning in Washington today on trying to end the government shutdown.
The Senate today will try to force another vote on a Republican proposal that does not include any of the Democratic demands, which are to reverse Medicaid cuts and also to extend those expiring Obamacare subsidies so health insurance premiums don't go up for millions of Americans. But at this point, these two sides are still at odds. They are only digging in, and there's no end in sight to this government shutdown.
ABC's Rachel Scott. The Supreme Court opening up its session today with some major rulings expected this term on the expanse of presidential power. Nobel Prize in Medicine handed out today. Nobel Peace Prize handed out on Friday. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermain. Here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know. Civic Media News is brought to you by Minocqua Chevrolet, your hometown Chevy dealer, now 100% locally owned. Built on trust, dependable service, and real community values. Visit them on Highway 51 South or at MinocquaCars.com. Perez County Public Health would like to remind you that they do have flu shots available. There are three different flu shots available this year. Flu's on trivalent, flu block, and high-dose flu vaccines. And they will also be having walk-in community flu clinics again this year. But if you can't make it to a walk-in, you can give their office a call to schedule an appointment at 715-339-3054. The next walk-in clinic is taking place at the Ogama Public Library between 11:30 to 12:30. Once again, that is October 13th at the Ogama Public Library between 11:30 to 12:30 for a walk-in flu vaccination clinic. Wednesday from 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m., North Central Technical College is hosting a basic technology help session at the Park Falls Public Library. Confused about your smartphone, computer, tablet, or other device? Well, no need to worry. Kathy will be available to help with personalized technology support. Once again, this is taking place from 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. over at the Park Falls Public Library. Eight candidates want to challenge incumbent 6th Congressional District Representative Glenn Grothman. Lisa Hale looks at one.
The Democratic primary for the 6th Congressional District in Wisconsin is over 10 months away. However, there are already 9 declared candidates. One of those candidates is Aaron Wojciechowski of Oshkosh, and he's no stranger to the political process. Wojciechowski, 28, is often referred to as Wojo. He made his first political run at the age of 19, serving on the Winnebago County Board of Supervisors, then on the Oshkosh Common Council. He said he wasn't going to run for office again, but caught the inspiration to do so during a No Kings rally earlier this year.
But in that moment, I thought, you know, if not me, then who? And if not now, when?
Wojciechowski says his major platform issue is affordability.
Everywhere you go, who you talk to, regardless of their politics, it's, you know, my rent has gotten higher, my electricity's gone higher, groceries are still going up, gas is going up. Life is becoming too unaffordable for anyone in low-income, middle class to afford.
A former teacher in the Oshkosh Area School District and current Assistant Director of Student Activities at Lawrence University, Wojciechowski says he will stand out from the six other Democratic candidates in the primary.
One of the things I've always led with is empathy. And I think we need more of that, less of this divisiveness, less of this name calling and just, you know, fiery rhetoric that is leading to violence. We need someone who can kind of simmer people down, bring people together and have these meaningful conversations.
The seven Democrats running for the 6th Congressional District will face off in a Democratic primary on August 11th. On the Republican side, incumbent Glenn Grothman faces a challenge from Jonathan Peets. For Civic Media, I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
Marthaler Chevrolet of Minocqua is now Minocqua Chevrolet, 100% locally owned and proud to serve the North Woods. With reliable service and hometown values, Minocqua Chevrolet stands out. They offer a full synthetic oil change for an everyday low price of just $49.95. And there's always a great selection of new 2025 Chevrolet models on the lot. Treating customers the way they want to be treated. It's a great place to do business. Visit Minocqua Chevrolet at Highway 51 South or online at MinocquaCars.com.
The playoffs continue in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field, where the Brewers host the Cubs. Tonight in Game 2 of their best-of-five series, the Brewers winning Game 1 on Saturday 9-3. Lefty Aaron Ashby named the opener for the crew tonight. NFL, the Packers back at work after a bye. They'll host Cincinnati on Sunday. College football, the Badgers losing at Michigan 24-10. Luke Fickle.
Well, we're not here to sugarcoat anything. Obviously, there obviously is always some good, but our ability to sustain and finish is where, you know, we still are not close to where we need to be.
Wisconsin has now lost three in a row. NBA, the Bucks in Miami tonight against the Heat. Giannis recovering from COVID. When will he be ready to play?
We're going to need a good 3 days. He told me two, but after watching him, I think it's three for sure.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports on Mike Clemens.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. A shared message from the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
Honeyline Station BP with bait and tackle is geared up for the fall fishing season. And yes, musky suckers are in stock now. Stop in for St. Croix rods, tackle, and all the live bait you need to reel in that big musky before the snow flies. Between Fifield and Minocqua, it's your one stop for fuel, grocery, snacks, lottery tickets, propane, firewood, and more. Plus, DNR licensing and vehicle registrations. Open 7 days a week from 6 to 9 on Highway 70 West in Minocqua.
No matter where you are in life, we're here for you. Marshfield Clinic primary care teams offer the kind of care you need when and where you need it. Marshfield Clinic. Life is calling. Go with confidence.
There's still time to save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Create stunning patios and strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast with our easy-to-use design and buy program in-store or on Menards.com. Don't miss out. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Far more fall-like today with partly sunny skies, highs in the lower 60s. Skies becoming mostly clear tonight, a chilly night with a low near 37. Some frost possible to start the day on Tuesday, otherwise sunny and cool with a high of 61. Right now, it's 47.
birthdays. How many weeks we've been doing the gray area now? Maybe 7, 8, 10, 12. Finally.
Probably more than we would think.
Finally, I've remembered birthdays at close to the appropriate time. Happy anniversary, belated 51st anniversary yesterday to Will and Cindy Smooty. So happy anniversary to you two lovebirds yesterday, 51st anniversary. Congratulations. What do you got?
I got a couple of happy birthdays to Karen yesterday. Why a couple? Because there's two. Happy birthday, Karen Smart, yesterday. And happy birthday, Karen Mivis, as well, from her birthday twin, Karen.
All right.
So you can...
Couple of Karens.
It was a recursive. There were two, both happy birthday, Karen, and also happy birthday, Karen. And happy anniversary today to Tim and Cindy Smart from the family.
All right. Very good. Last night we were waxing gibbous on the moon.
You were, maybe.
Waxing gibbous. My wife was sitting out on the front porch last night at about 8 o'clock just enjoying the cool weather moving in and the rain. And I peeked my head out there. There was no light on. And I said, "Everything okay out here?" And she said, "I'm waxing gibbous." And I said, "I guess I'll leave you alone."
Yeah.
But that's an almost full moon for those who don't know. So tonight, I believe, is a full moon.
Did gibbous ask for a waxing, or is this like a?
It's something Carl
a chicken scenario.
It's something Carl Klepotek always used to say. And after about 15 years, I finally asked him. I said, "Carl, what does that mean? What is it? You say it with such joy. Tonight we're waxing gibbous," and I'm just like, "Oh." Does Gibbous know this is going to happen? I don't know what's going on there.
Is this of a voluntary nature? Do we need to call
somebody? We experienced the change of seasons, which is a joy of living in northern Wisconsin. Highs of 80 to highs of 60 or so. Today, we're not done with summer yet. You'll see some 70s probably this weekend, but the cooler weather is a joy to many people. Many people. Not me. I like the warmer weather, but...
Same people generally, like, but cool. This is a sweet spot. You know, if you've got yard work to do, no finer time.
Yeah, yeah.
And you do. You have yard work to do. Enjoy.
It's very, very true. I was looking at a stat. I hate to make this show all about the NFL, but there's so much to talk about with that. They always talk about every year who's the youngest team in the NFL. They always say, "Oh, this team doing good, and they're the youngest team in the NFL." And for several years running now, it's either been the Packers or they've been in the top few of the youngest teams. So let me ask you this question first of all right? If you are the youngest team in the NFL several years running, does that mean that you're building a program, or does that mean you're just cheap? I don't know. I mean, you can't be the youngest team forever, right? You can't always be the youngest team every year.
No, not generally speaking, unless you're really just offloading all of your veteran talent. But that's how you, that in a word, you're losing if you're doing that.
The last 2 years, the Packers have been the youngest team, and they've kind of been in that top 5 or 10 probably for several years, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty clearly strategy. I mean, and the strategy is that young players are cheap. So,
but if you look at, when I saw that stat, I thought, okay, well, what is the difference here? So you're looking at the Packers, the youngest team in the NFL this year, an average age of 25.23.
Right. Right.
You go down to the 11th rated team in the top youngest teams. It's the Patriots. Average age is about a half a year old, about 6 months older average per player versus the first of the 11th team.
6 or 8 months.
So what I'm telling you is unless your average age is like 30, which if you look at like the Commanders, it's 28 versus the Packers, 25, then we might talk a little bit. But the top 10 or 15, when you're talking about 6 months difference in age, average player-wise, don't talk to me about it.
Right. It's over a sample size of 53 guys. What's the average difference? And like an average of 3 over 53 of a sample size, that's pretty significant. The difference between Packers and Commanders. Like if you look at the Commanders roster, you'll see a lot of guys 32, 33, 35 even, depending who you're looking at. Bobby Wagner's up there.
Right.
But if you, it's not that they're not on the Packers, it's just that there's one.
Yeah,
there's only one, and everybody else is like, I mean, you know, it's funny. You look at C.J. Stroud, the quarterback for the Texans, in his third year in the NFL, He's 23. How did that even happen? And he's been good.
Yeah.
You know, like there's guys are playing younger than ever before. J.J. McCarthy, a fine example.
Yeah. I mean, especially for running backs, I think running backs should get their into the NFL earlier. To go through 4 years of college, you know, and being roughhoused for 4 years and then come in and try to have a 6 or 7 year career in the NFL, which is about the average. I think it's even less than that now for an NFL running back, 5 to 7 years. You know, your money-making time isn't very good, although things have changed now because if you're a junior in college and you're a good player, you might get a couple million in NIL. You might get the cash right there.
Yes, actually, there's that value proposition is different. We almost saw that play out for the Bengals when they were seeing a holdout from their first round player, Shamar Stewart. He ended up signing the contract right as training camp was coming to a close. But theoretically, if he had held out all year and decided not to sign his contract with the Bengals, as long as he stayed out for the entire season, he could have re-entered the draft last year. It just would have been a terrible thing to do because he would have had a year with no tape and nobody would have taken another first-round risk on him.
Yeah.
So the smart move always would have been to take that first-round money. It's just that one of the big questions was, if he could go back to college, which he couldn't have done, he would have gotten NIL money. So he didn't have to, and he already had NIL money in pocket, which is why the holdout didn't threaten his livelihood the way that it used to do. It's different than ever before. Quietly this year, but it might get loud soon.
As violent as the NFL is on running backs nowadays, I think eventually you're going to see where a college football player is a sophomore. Maybe they get a million or so. They're a junior, they get 2 or 3 million. They're a senior, they get 4 or 5 million NIL. And then the running back says, you know what? I'm done. I'm out. I'm just going to go live a real life. So when I'm 40 years old, I'm not popping pain pills every day of my life. Because you talk to former running backs in the NFL and the way they feel when they get into their 40s, usually it's not very good.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I like to believe that I wouldn't be tempted to keep going for more, but we're human beings and that's how we work. That said, someday soon is going to come a smart running back who's going to skip the NFL entirely, and that's going to be major news because it's going to be some Bo Jackson-level generational talent, and you know what he's going to do? He's going to go buy a couple of apartment buildings and kick it up with a Mai Tai every week for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And thinking, you know what? My back doesn't hurt today, and I love that. Exactly. And I love that for him, whoever you are.
Exactly. Well, the Brewers win on Saturday. It was not a good start to the game. Leadoff home run for the Cubs. They were up 1-0. And then the Brewers, in the bottom of the inning, they continued, and hang on, I think I just got an update. The Brewers just scored again in the bottom of the first inning. So there you go. They just scored again.
Oh, no, I watched. I don't remember what I was looking at, but I saw a couple instances of Go Cubs on some social media feed or other while I was briefly exposed to it this week. I thought, oh, no, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
And then I saw a bunch of Go Cubs from Brewers fans with sarcastic laughing emojis. I was like, wait.
It changed so fast.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of a disturbance in the force. Like, why does the air smell sweet? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, usually in the NFL and even NBA, the change of momentum is kind of a gradual thing, typically. And in baseball, it can change just snap of a finger. And it did within, like, literally 5 minutes. The Cubs had a 1-0 lead, and then the Brewers came up and double. It was 2-1, nobody out, and it just kept going. It just kept going. Fun night for the crew. But as Craig Counsell said after the game, we all those runs don't count against us. It's 1-0. We're down 1-0. So here we go into game two tonight. 8:08, Cubs Brewers right here. If you can't watch it on TBS, you got to have something paid for to get that tonight. We've got it for you right here. You can fall asleep with the game because that probably won't get over with till probably 11-ish or
yeah,
so.
Yeah,
I was be a late night
looking at my Google calendar and it said there was a game tomorrow. I was like, what? And it said, yeah, tonight is going to hang over past midnight. That's why there's a game tomorrow. There's actually not a game tomorrow, but there may be one past midnight this evening.
Yeah, that tells you the networks are interested to see what this will do ratings wise because so that puts it 8 o'clock our time, puts it 9 o'clock Eastern, puts it 6 o'clock out on the West Coast. So
wow.
They're looking for ratings.
Yeah, that's that's California is going to get a heck of a time.
Yeah, should be fun. The Yankees are down 2-0. That brings me joy. one final topic.
Easy to please.
One final topic. I just want to scathe a little bit. Maybe we can go more in depth into this another time. But the progression of celebrations in professional sports has always intrigued me, and in how players celebrate their joy. And I thought of this as I saw a highlight this morning of a guy hitting a home run, and he hit the home run, and he flipped the bat, and he raised his hands to the crowd, you know, very emotional. Whereas as recently as about 20 years ago, I'm going to say, that would have instantly brought on a bench clearing brawl, because in the days of baseball before we've allowed celebrations, even an acknowledgement that I find any joy in that home run I just hit off you, even a slow trot around the bases would have brought a brawl. I mean, they would came out of the dugout, they would have came out of the bullpen, and nowadays we're flipping bats and we're giving. They should surprise are not doing the gritty out there, whatever else. But there's a lot more celebrating. Personally, I like it. I like it.
Oh, me too. I like the expression, as long as it doesn't get too egregious or too personal. You know, there's
right.
Like I know the NFL is catching a lot of flack for how firmly they're enforcing celebrations, but honestly, I'm not against that NFL. They haven't gone too far for me yet, you know? That's like, there's a line between what the MLB allows and what the NFL doesn't that I think is this very wide space where you can express victory without dumping on somebody. Like, there's just no need to act like you're superior over the guy you beat. Yeah, you were that play. But, like, there's this smell in the air when you flex on a person, and if you don't know that, you should, and you should probably stop doing the flexing. Yeah. Like, you don't look cool. You look like you're not thinking about your fellow man, and it's like, wow, what a loud piece of ugh.
Yeah,
for the middle of a game. But, like, good on you for the dunk, though. Nice job.
Yes. Celebrate it yourself. I mean, if you want to dunk the basketball and pound your chest to the crowd, you know, and go like that, that's fine. But when you dunk the basketball and you turn on the guy that you dunked on and do that too, then it's another level of, what are you doing here?
When I'm good turns into I'm better than you, it's like, nope. All right. Yeah. There it was. I can't exactly. Yeah, that was the point.
And I really think it's mentally healthy for pro athletes to be able to get out those emotions. They're long seasons. There's so much failure in every professional sport. So when you have that moment, you get a touchdown, I think it's important for the powers that be in each league to let that person celebrate it at that moment, because most of the other things that happened on that field the previous week were not good. Struck out with the bases loaded and yada, 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 and you finally got it. And as long as you're just celebrating it with the fans and they're not taunting, let it go. Just let them have that mental burst of energy.
Yeah. And I mean, like, how do you separate we're the best from the idea of we're better than you? Well, you don't necessarily have to, and yet you kind of, there's a difference. There's a difference between we're the best and we're better than everybody else. And which one you choose, you know, that's sportsmanship, you know, that's what sportsmanship is. Which perspective do you take on your victory? Are you a sore winner? Are you a, you know, that's just it. Show me the person who says I'm the best this year and they're really good too, and we almost weren't, you know, like.
Maybe we should do this in other parts of life. Maybe when a kid gets an A on a report card, that we should have a celebration end zone dance outside the school, because they're
do I they mean, flex on the kids who get
I mean
D's?
there's equally as emotional moments in everyday life as there is in sports. A person who's had a long work week and finally Friday they got done what they wanted to do all week, and they should be able to stand up and just flex to the world and just say, I did it, without everybody thinking, boy, you're a little crazy, huh? Let them have that moment. I think I think there's a truth to this. I think this is why there's problems sometimes with parents at high school ball games, because they're looking for an emotional vent from what just happened all week. It's nothing about the kid. It's nothing about the coach. It's nothing about the ref. They're just looking to get it out somehow. Right. So we need more end zone celebrations in life. The guy hauling the logs from here to Wausau, when you get there, it was a long trip. You stayed awake. You did a good job. You get out of that semi, and you just give the the little gritty saying, yeah, yeah, I did it. I did it. Uh-huh. See?
Who needs therapy when we have T-ball?
That's very true. I got more on celebrations. We'll do another time, Gray. You have a great day.
I'm going to go flex.
State 57 here at 98Q.